All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 253. I'm Credo.
And I'm a social assassin, angry cooter.
Bitches.
Not today.
All right.
I'm trying to keep it clean, bro. I'm going to be professional today.
Well, Cooter, that's not all. It's not just Credo and Angry Cooter today.
Right.
Today, we have kind of a return to the mix. An OG of AWP, JB. JB has a little bit of a message for everybody. JB?
You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. Just kidding. My name is Jonathan, and you probably have seen me on another wrestling podcast before. Credo and I started another wrestling podcast way back in the Ice Age, but I'm back due to a very lucrative Roman Reigns style contract. I am going to be back with AWP filling in and doing some amazing interviews for all you to listen. So please tune in and follow us on the socials, and we look forward to having you hear us.
We have JB coming back doing some interviews with us.
Nice.
I think we need to get Minority Mike back, and we'll have our own little whack pack going. We got to elevate and expand AWP, I guess.
Your obsession with Howard Stern is just too much for me to bear.
We could do the click, too. We could have our own little click.
No.
No. Well, the AWP family is growing somewhat. We're getting back there. Some OGs are returning. Guys, another wrestling podcast happening right now in Beacon, New York at Beacon Podcasting. If you're in the Hudson Valley and you want a podcast just like AWP, check out beaconpodcasting.io. It's the place to be in the Hudson Valley if you want to do your own podcast, wouldn't you say?
Well, no kidding. I'm here, aren't I? Where the hell else would I be?
Nowhere else but Beacon Podcasting.
You're goddamn
that's for sure.
Right.
So check them out, guys. We're not just doing this on our own. We're doing it with the help of Beacon Podcasting. So check them out, beaconpodcasting.io. You can check us out on Twitter or X at A Wrestling Pod, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and other wrestling podcasts. Like us, follow us, subscribe to us, Spotify, Apple. We're on everything, so just Google it. You'll find us. Follow the show. Leave a comment. Like us. Show the love. Let us know you're out there. All the hate mail can go to Angry Cooter.
I was just going to say, I want everybody to tell Credo how much they hate him, but you already beat me to it, so go ahead, bro.
Wrestling podcast at Gmail if you want to send your hate mail for Tony. Guys, you know, pro wrestling tees are on there. We still got to think of some shirts this week, maybe. Next week, we could say we have another shirt on pro wrestling tees.
Rocking one of the old school ones.
It's an OG day, I guess, right? Yeah. We have Eat, Sleep, Listen to Another Wrestling Podcast, Repeat. Doesn't exist anymore. That's like a one of one, maybe. I don't know. I have one somewhere, but maybe a one of two. I don't know. We got to get some more shirts going on there, guys. Pro Wrestling Tees is out there. Check it out. We're out there. Check it out. So Jonathan not only is joining the show today, but also a returning guest of Enzo Amore, formerly known as Enzo Amore, real one now. He's joining us. We were one of the guys to last see Mr. Enzo Amore in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Correct.
At his last cruiserweight defense before they let him go. So that's kind of
Was that 205 live show at Civic Center.
At the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. Now MJN.
I think that's the only house show that 205 Live ever did.
Yeah, something like that. Then I think the next day they're at Barclays Center and they let Enzo go, unfortunately. But no, he's a great guy. He has a lot to say. JB's going to be talking with him later, so stay tuned for that one. A lot going on, Cooter, but you know, we always talk about wrestling. We always talk about something else. But what else is going on, man? There's a lot of things going on. I just actually finished Dune 2, finally. I didn't get to see it in the movie theater, so I had to watch it on HBO or Max the past few days, like every 15 minutes when I got a chance, and I just finished it. A lot of subtitles, but it was still good.
I could give two shits about Dune.
Not Dune 2. I still got to finish Rebel Moon 2, Part 2. Did you see Rebel Moon? Zack Snyder?
Don't
Netflix?
Give a
no?
Fuck. No. I've been watching The Jinx.
The Jinx? What's that? I don't know that.
Oh, dude, it's a documentary about this dude who like, killed three people and was just constantly getting away with it.
The Jinx.
And it was the original one was filmed in, I want to say, 2015.
Yeah.
And documentary about how he basically, but his stupid ass in one of the last episodes,
yeah,
walked into the bathroom with a hot mic. Now, he's basically been found not guilty for, like, murdering one of these people in Texas.
Yeah.
But he's on the fucking hot mic and basically says, yeah, I killed those fuckers or something along those lines.
So, wait, this is a documentary? This is
yeah. Real? So, he gets interviewed, you know, during this documentary. Dude, you got to see it. It's credit because you got to go watch the first season because the second season, he's basically being put on trial because of the HBO documentary.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's a fucking great... I can't stop watching it.
Well, that's
and
cool.
When you get to that last episode, you're going to be like, oh, fuck. Yeah, it's great, dude.
But did you... I have a little X-Men shirt on today. Did you watch X-Men 97 yet?
I'm still trying to catch up on the original. I think I'm on season 4.
So I did that. When you get to season 5, just watch the first episode and the last episode. Everything in between is like a filler. Don't even watch it.
Got you.
It's, I don't know what they did with season 5, but you're not going to even know what it is. It's an incredible show. X-Men 97.
The only thing I'm really looking forward to this summer, fucking Deadpool.
Wolverine and Deadpool.
Oh my god, I thought we would never see this and I can't fucking wait, dude.
The saviors of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think they kind of, I guess with, I don't, I keep going back to COVID, but it was like they kept making all these shows and there's no like control over it, right? They're like making like an Agatha series because people liked her on WandaVision. They don't need it. Who the fuck cares about Agatha? Like, what are we? No, stop it. Like,
fuck,
I want to see
Agatha.
Wolverine. Yes. I want to see the X-Men. I want to see the top people, the top guys, the top anything. Stop making all these little mediocre
dude,
whatever
Marvel,
stuff.
Ever since Endgame, has been the fucking drizzling shits.
They just keep taking too much.
Nothing.
Yeah,
too much, and there's no cohesion, and I feel like...
They keep going after these B characters. Like, who is the no offense to her, but she was in Daredevil, but she's like blind. Or no, she's deaf and mute. Echo, they made a whole series of Echo.
I actually thought
Deadpool.
That was a cool series.
It was
good.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't know. Who's Echo? I want to see the Fantastic Four. I want to see, like, well, even on DC, I want to see Batman. I don't want to watch Gotham City for the detectives. I want to see Batman.
You didn't like Gotham?
I never watched Gotham.
Dude,
I tried watching one episode.
Oh,
I was like, screw it.
Please,
there's no Batman.
Fix yourself a glass sandwich with fucking onions. That was an awesome series.
All right. Well, I'm still, I got to binge House of Dragon because the new season's coming out. House of Dragon season 2.
How the fuck are we even friends, dude? Seriously, you watch
like
some
Game
dumb
of Thrones.
Shit.
I like it. So, I don't know. We have a good divide of stuff going on there from murder mysteries to the fantasy side over here. But, no, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, that's what's kind of like taking us away sometimes. Because if wrestling ain't drawing us in, I got to go to something else, Cooter. There's not much keeping us awake anymore. But there's a lot of stuff going on with that. Speaking of all the supernatural and stuff happening, I got to get your take on this. They haven't debuted yet. It's the whole Uncle Howdy thing going on. Did you see the Bray Wyatt special they did before WrestleMania?
I did not watch it. I heard it was fantastic.
It's a little sad, you know, how it happened and all that stuff of what happened. But, you know, like they kind of get into Bo talking about it and how he was involved with his brother at the end and all this other stuff. So, but now they're showing like QR codes and they're teasing the stable. Let me read some of this for you. So they're what could be. This is all hearsay. I don't know what's going to be in it. But they've been hiding people in the back of scenes. I think people saw Alexa Bliss on Raw last week hiding backstage when somebody was, I think like Braun Strowman was running through doing stuff. But anyway, so an Uncle Howdy faction. Some people are calling it the Wyatt Six. It could be, we don't know it again, it could include Nikki Cross, a Dexter Lumis, a Joe Gacy from NXT, a returning Eric Rowan.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, there's some
Upside
names.
Down Sheamus, great.
So some of these names, you know, so some people are saying, you know, each had previous experiences in different factions. Cross was a part of Sanity. Gacy led the Schism. Schism? Schism? Schism. It's like Tool, whatever. Lumis was a member of The Way. Rowan was an original member of the Wyatt family. We don't know what's going to happen. It's just they've been teasing something going on, especially if you watch that special with Bray Wyatt. He teases something at the end, Uncle Howdy thing of coming back. So I don't know if Bo needs to come back as an Uncle Howdy because they didn't really get too much into that character. They kind of had like one appearance and then everything fell apart. But I don't know. Do you think this group could like... just, you know, keep that momentum of what Bray had, or is it just not going to be the same because there's no Bray Wyatt? I mean, do you think this is something that's going to be a long-term lasting faction? I mean, under Triple H, don't forget, it's not a Vince McMahon thing. If Triple H kind of has control of this, do you think he can kind of keep that momentum of that weird realm world?
Yeah, if they can stay away from the corny shit, like
no black coming down your head at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, I always liked Bo Dallas, especially in NXT, because I was watching.
Believe, man, even that, even his corny, but he
that was fucking stupid. I feel like that poor guy has gotten the short end of the stick his entire career, and then he got released at one point, I believe. Yep. And I feel like this is his opportunity to finally make it on the main roster with a good character, with a good group of people behind him, and maybe with a writing team that's not going to do some cornball shit. I mean, I have high hopes for it. I'll believe it when I see it.
No.
But, I mean, like I said, or like you said, we're in a new era. So hopefully we get something good out of this. Is it something that's going to last long term? I guess only time will tell.
No, for sure. And I kind of understand, like, you know, kind of going forth with what Wyatt wanted in his legacy of, you know, his characters and what they kind of wanted to do and change things. And, you know, it's a whole different, their own little Marvel Cinematic Universe or, you know, like this whole little group of carnies almost, it seems like, right? Like they're all like weird, you know, like Marilyn Manson type carny kind of things. Like, I don't know. It's a weird kind of faction, but if it has to be done right. If it's too corny, then it's not going to work. And once again, you're missing that key person, which is Bray Wyatt. And unfortunately, you know, he passed away. So how do you ride the coattails of what he, you know, he began? So I don't know. Are people going to be like, it's cool, but there's no Bray Wyatt? Or is it going to be like, I'm glad that they're continuing what he might have done? I don't know.
Right now, I'm going to be the corny person.
Oh.
You got to believe, because I believe in Bo Dallas. He is a talented motherfucker. He really is. And like I said, if he has the right people behind him, I think he has the ability to get a lot of weird stuff over.
Yeah.
Just like Bray did. I just don't think he was ever given the opportunity to do something outside the box like this. And maybe this is going to be the one. I really hope so, because, oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot, something that could happen with this. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I'm kind of seeing what's happening with these QR codes to see what they could do. So I guess let's see what play out. I mean, people keep saying like, oh, it should have debuted at the last pay-per-view, or it's going to be debuted this. I mean, just let it play out.
How the fuck people get their phones out that fast, by the way? Because I know those things are like a split second. You got to pause it. I'm like, I ain't got time for this bullshit. At the time, I already got my fucking phone in my hand and I'm playing Candy Crush or some shit.
I got to wait for the marks on the online to get it for you and then watch what they got. But, you know, it's something that's happening. We'll see what happens with that. On a side note, you know, I wanted to talk about this last week, but I was playing it out. There's a lot of injuries going around. Now, last week, did you happen to see what Edge did at Double or Nothing? He jumped from the cage, and was it like a second like guess, or was it like, I don't want to go through the table? And that's a far jump to just land on your feet. Like, why?
I have no idea.
And he hasn't said why he didn't like land on the table, but like,
I could have swore it was going to be a splash, and then they tried to play it off as he did an elbow, and I'm like,
he like came down almost like a hammer, but like it was like he just didn't want
to
land on.
I would love to know what happened. That's just weird, and at his age, that ain't something you should be doing. What is he, in his 50s?
Yeah, 50, yeah. And it's like,
come on, dude. No. I mean, and not for nothing, we always said some dumb shit about Sting when he would do some crazy spots.
And
like
he was
that.
Like 65 or 60 yeah, something,
it was
whatever.
Dude, it's too much. It's too much. But even he wasn't doing stuff like that. That's just too much for me. Like, I get it. You hear some of the people in the business arguing with fans who are like, listen, this is what they're passionate about. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it, but this is what they want to do. Yeah, I'm with it. But listen, we actually care about some of the people that we grew up watching. I don't want to see this shit. And it's not because I don't think it's cool or whatever. Dude, no.
Yeah.
It's just...
it's not worth the risk.
It's like watching Jake Paul fighting fucking Mike Tyson. It's the same thing. Like... is there an interest in it? Sure, but I mean, what could happen could be really devastating. A motherfucker broke his leg.
No, yeah, and let me just read off some of these names, because right now this is the injury list. I'm just going to read off names from WWE, AEW, just to kind of like give you an idea of some of the names who are out right now. So we have Adam Copeland, recent injury with the tibia. We got Eddie Kingston, torn ACL and meniscus. Zelina Vega is out, unknown. She was pulled from the Queen of the Ring. Bobby Lashley, shit, pulled from the King of the Ring, unknown injury right now. JC Jane, who's on NXT, a broken nose. Asuka, or knee. Julia Hart, AEW, unknown right now. Powerhouse Hobbs, knee injury.
Jesus, a lot of knee injuries.
Dominic Mysterio, shoulder. Rhea Ripley, shoulder. Ortiz, torn pec. Nikita Lyons, unknown. Shotzi, her knee. There's just like a whole list. I'm looking at it right now, scrolling down on all these other people. Valhalla, who is part of the Viking Raiders, she's out due to pregnancy. That's a different injury. Jimmy Uso, I think, has been out, says unknown. I'm just scrolling as I'm going here.
Is he actually hurt?
CM Punk's still out, but that was, I mean, we know he's probably going to be coming back soon, but. Cora Jade, NXT, torn ACL, Charlotte Flair.
Dude, the knees. Yeah. That's crazy. That's a lot of knee injuries.
Yeah, Charlotte Flair said it's been out for ACL and MCL and a meniscus tear.
I don't know if she'll ever be the same.
No, yeah. Eric, who is part of the Viking Raiders too, he's something like a neck injury. He underwent a C7 neck fusion surgery.
Eric, is that the one with the beard or the bald one?
Yeah, so he's married to Valhalla now. So she's the one that's pregnant. So the Viking Raiders.
No, I know, but which one is he? The one the
bald one, yeah.
Oh.
I know. So they're married. So I know.
Okay.
That turned into the whole thing of the Viking Raiders. But, you know, just like just reading these names and just like.
So he raided Valhalla. If you look at this list. And, okay, I got
it. Going into like Jeff Hardy, concussion, broken nose, it says. Wheeler Yuta, concussion, Kota Ibushi, right ankle, Kenny Omega, diverticulitis, Miro's unknown, Keith Lee's unknown. Scorpio Sky is returning. MJF just returned from injury too. Kind of hid that for a little bit.
Yeah,
there's like a whole list. I mean, it's amazing some of these names, and it goes back to like if you're not making names when these guys get injured, who do you have to step up? You know, and I don't know. Just the whole injuries right now is just the whole crazy. It could be a whole topic for a show of like what's going on or why are there so many injuries? But I don't know. I just saw this list and I was intrigued by it, and I had to just read it to you because it's just. Craziness happening with everything.
You know what's crazy to me about that is, and you're absolutely right. When you see a list like that, it's like the New York Knicks mentality.
Yeah,
it's the next man up.
Yep.
Knicks had a lot of injuries. I mean, they made it to the semi-conference finals, I believe.
Yeah,
Game 7, 4 of their starters out. Next guy up, and you think they're done. You think they're done, and they're just working their asses off. Yep. So I mean, this is an opportunity for people. Weren't getting television time before to get some and show what they got. So
no, yeah.
If you have that mentality, hey man, put me in, coach. Like this could be a good thing. I think in AEW, it's got to be harder because I feel like that roster is just so bloated. Regardless of you know the talent, it's you have a huge amount of big names over there, and I feel like. We're just waiting. We were just waiting for MJF to come back.
Yep.
I just really nobody on that roster is really doing it for me anymore.
No, yeah. And I honestly wanted to bring this up last week. And then, you know, a part of the whole MJF thing. And it's like all these names are out. And it's like your show starts to diminish because you have all these angles that you want to do with these top guys. But now we can't because they're out. And then you got to figure out who else is going to step up. To work with this guy, and then this person's out. Then you got to figure out. It's a whole like it's like a jigsaw puzzle of like what piece is going to go to the next piece, and it just blows my mind how many injuries are happening right now, and a lot of like silly reasons. Like Edge, like you said, he didn't need to do that. He's 50 years old. You tell me that he told you like, listen, I'm going to go to the top of the cage and I'm going to jump, and then meanwhile you didn't want to say, but Edge, you're 50. Don't.
Not only that, why the fuck are we doing a barbed wire cage match?
I know.
For what? I mean, I can see if this was somebody. Who the fuck was he even wrestling?
Nobody.
I don't even remember who was in that match with him.
Because that's all we're remembering is that he was a TNA champion or the TNA. No, the TBS. TNT.
Who cares? There's too many belts, Credo. It's just too many belts.
The TNT champion, whatever that means. So, I don't know. It's just, to me, this whole injury thing is really. Crazy right now because yeah, a lot of people are stepping down, a lot of people are stepping up, and a lot of stories are changing before our eyes, and a lot of things that we didn't think were going to change are changing. So
we want to talk more MJF.
Yeah, let's hit some MJF up. I mean, He's a person you need around, I think. And he signed, I guess, re-signed with him. I think he has a tattoo now of AEW. I don't know what that's
Tell
about.
Tell me how I know you're friends with Cody Rhodes. Oh, God. Horrible tattoos. Listen, I don't have tattoos. I'm a hater of tattoos.
I'm too hairy. I mean, I can't have a tattoo. I don't want to shave my body for
when,
a tattoo.
When you got somebody like Cody who's got the fucking one on his neck here.
The neck tattoo.
And listen, I can respect the passion because to me, that promo was amazing.
Yeah.
He's in amazing shape. I haven't seen him look like that good, like health-wise.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
The promo was amazing. Just had me at the edge of my seat the whole time. And it was passionate, and I don't think there's anybody in that company who can cut a promo like that. I don't think there's anybody in the business who can cut a promo like that and have the crowd eating out of their palm of their hand. Maybe Punk. Maybe Cody to a certain extent. But, again, if we're going to respect the passion, do I have to respect the tattoo? Bet on yourself with AEW? I get it. Cool. But listen. That's an ugly fucking tattoo, bro. That's fucking ugly.
You know, so
good for you, bro. Yeah. Good for you.
You know, so you're right. He's a hell of a promo, but like once again, AEW is the only place that he could probably do that. You can never make a promo like that in WWE. Like, just he relies a lot on the cursing, which is fine. Even if he toned it down, I just don't think he would have the same quality of a promo of like a CM Punk or whatever in WWE. To where I think. Once he fits with AEW right now. I feel like he can do that style, but like if you bring him over to someplace else and they need him to tone it down, I don't know if he could cut a good promo like without, I don't know, toning it down a little bit.
I don't think he needs to. I don't think they would make him. No? They let The Rock curse all over TV, for God's sakes. Why not? I mean, if you have somebody who's that white hot, who is a big name like that, I can see them giving him the leeway, especially if he draws numbers, if he draws ratings, and if he makes them money.
And he's still young, too. I mean, you know.
He's 28,
yeah,
bro.
So he doesn't need to go anywhere.
He's 28 or 29?
He's definitely younger than us. So he has plenty of time to work on it down there, I think, still. I mean, even if he left right now, I think he'd get lost in the shuffle to where I don't know if they could even use him right now in WWE.
I was going to say that. I completely agree with you.
Like, I think he still needs to build a name for himself where he is, stay where he is. He's fine where he is right now.
I don't even think he needs to build a name for himself. I think that's wrong. I think the fact that I feel like some of the acquisitions that WWE has done the last few months are fitting the storylines that they have started since Mania and maybe a little bit beforehand.
Yeah.
And I think... He just doesn't really fit into that. I think maybe 2-3 years down the road, that could work. But for what they have going on right now, I just don't see where they would fit him in and who they would have him work with. Do you do the repeat of him and Punk?
Yeah.
Do you do him and Cody right away? I mean...
I don't know.
I mean, we could have a... Loser gets another shitty tattoo match. No? Too soon?
Either way, I mean, he's the one talent that's going to draw more eyeballs to watch them at a time that they really need eyeballs to watch them over there. So, I mean, I'm glad he's back from an injury. Mm. So we'll see what happens with that. But one guy I also loved listening to who knows how to cut a lot of great promos is formerly known as Enzo Amore. Now the real one joining us back on AWP with JB. Check it out.
All right. Well, don't call it a comeback. This gentleman that's about to join us has been on our show before. He is a wrestler. Jack of all trades, really. Wrestler, entertainer, musician. And I would say the one, the only, but really just the real one. And often imitated, never duplicated, Enzo.
How you doing? And, you know, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And I see it every time I turn on a television screen now with pro wrestling. I don't know if you noticed, there's a lot of people out there wearing sneakers. And I am the Michael Jordan of jargon, bro. Real one wearing one of ones made by MJ. EA all day, the real one. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. @RealOne, and you can listen to my music all over the place. Real One any platform, man, Spotify, Apple Music, you name it, it's all streaming. That's the word and then the number, okay, and then combined, Real One.
Well, it's fantastic to have you back, and to be completely honest, you know, I'm sure when you come on a lot of these, it's wrestling heavy, but today I did want to touch on the music, and you know, for those of you who don't know, Spotify, that's where I've been able to listen to a lot of it, but I'm sure it's on a little bit of everything, Apple Music and things of that nature. But I want you to tell us a little bit about kind of how you broke into music specifically, and then just kind of what
you mean how I broke into the WWE?
Well, see, yeah.
I broke into the WWE making music, man, and I was a DJ. My father is a DJ. So really, I was born into it, just like you're born into pro wrestling. I was born into microphone work. I was born into getting a crowd, out there. When I was a kid, I'd be like 13, 14, 15, a protege of my father, leading the cha-cha slide and the Macarena, you know, and the cha-cha shuffle and Cupid shuffle and electric slide, you name it, every group dance that you could do out there, you know, the gentleman's choice dance, give roses out for a man to give to a woman. We slow the music down, we get everybody on the dance floor, hit them with some J-Lo, dude, let's get loud, get the party rock. It was like, you know, it was a different time, man, in my life that it made me who I am. And I have the greatest parents in the world, man. I'm so tight with my dad. He's my best friend. He taught me everything I know. He knows more, and he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. You know what I mean? He's a brilliant man. He really is. He changed my life forever with the microphone, giving it to me and letting me get out there. And then that was really how I cut corners in pro wrestling, and how I was able to get booked every weekend by the WWE, the biggest show in the world, from 2013 to 2018. Was a staple on WWE programming, and it was a blessing, because the microphone could take you places. So if you're a young wrestler and you're wanting to make it, you know, I would focus less on, you know, the moonsault and more on the mic work.
Absolutely. And you were one of those people, you know, you hear it a lot. They talk about the people that can talk you into the building. And, you know, there's some all-time greats out there. Some of the people that I, you know, Dusty's, the Rowdy Pipers, the, you know.
Well, I had the blessing of working with Dream. So I learned a lot from him. And I mean, it's just timing is everything in life, you know? So that timing in the business, in the history of the business of pro wrestling, was such a great time to be a part of it, the crowds, the people. And it was the changing of the guard, the new generation of wrestler. It was the groundwork for what it has become today. When Triple H became the head of talent relations in 2012, I think he had a vision that nobody could really see that and believe. But you know, your job when you go to work is to do your job. And if what you're being told is this is what we're going to do and this is what you need to do to make it happen, and all the people come together over there. I mean, look at the foundation that was built through the black gold brand of NXT that he created back then, that, you know, serves, you know, as the foundation of Monday Night Raw today. So, you know, like, I just think that, you know, credit is where credit's paid, where credit's due. A lot of people talk about it, you know, like, but I think that, you know, it was a great time to be in the business. Timing is everything. So I was just so blessed to be around all that talent, to be able to work with all that talent, and to not know, as a kid who never wrestled before, what was out there in the world of wrestling. Only thing that ever existed in wrestling to me was the WWE. And it's all I ever wanted to do. Shawn Michaels was my hero. I loved The Rock. And Stone Cold, so it was Bret Hart, you know, all the greats that we watched growing up. Taker, that's what I grew up on growing up in the Northeast right here. I had no idea what WCW was until Kevin Nash and Scott Hall went there. And then my eyes went there. And then I, you know, then I became familiar with, you know, I had a Sting action figure. And I always, I knew who he was, but I didn't understand. Well, where the fuck is this guy at? Excuse my language. Where do we watch this guy wrestle? Because I've only seen, my boy had a VHS tape. So I loved wrestling. If you ask how I got my start into it, I got my start when I was about 5 years old. I bought a Jake the Snake action. No. My grandma gave me a Jake the Snake Roberts action figure. And I saw my homie playing down the street with a wrestling ring, and he had a bunch of the wrestling toys. He had a Legion of Doom with the shoulder pads, the Hasbro toys. And I was like, what the? What are those things? Wait a second. In my head, light bulb, I got one of those things in my house. Back to my house, and I got Jake the Snake with his snake, and I brought it down the street, and I beat the shit out of everybody, excuse my language, with the Jake the Snake toy, and he became my favorite wrestler. I saw the VHS of Macho Man, because once I brought the toy over, my boy's older brother was like, oh, you don't know who that is? And and then they showed me the VHS tape of Macho Man getting bit with a snake, and I was just like, wow, this is my guy. And then on that same VHS tape, I feel like, or, you know, in that same day, I saw Shawn Michaels wrestle the Marty Jannetty spot where he kicks and throws him through the window. And then that bled into like a match on like whatever VHS tape of Shawn Michaels. And it was a Razor Ramon Shawn Michaels ladder match. Then there, that took my breath away and changed my life forever. Once I saw that match, Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels, sometime after that, Shawn was my guy. Even though Razor won, I loved them both. They became my two favorite wrestlers, and I had my favorite thing to do. It was like play with action figures with the ladder. It was like, you know, I had like a toy ladder, and I would just play with wrestlers in a wrestling ring. And, you know, it was back in the day when you were a kid, you had to be creative and use your imagination to play, because you weren't just handed an iPad and told to go off into a corner. You were handed, you know, the keys to the house and said, get the hell out. You know what I'm saying? And you had to go outside. And we were always playing on a block of wrestling toys and Spider-Man and X-Men and shit. So me and my friends, I would attribute to, you know, wanting to do this thing, just seeing it as like, man, I want to be an action figure. Like, I know these people are action figures. They asked me what I want to be when I grow up. When I was a kid, I was like, I want to be one of these. Yeah, I want to be an action figure. And it's like, to be able to make that happen is a dream come true. So now I'm just reaping the benefits of it, man. I get the blessing of meeting the whole world through pro wrestling. It's opened a lot of doors for me. It's opened every door for me that's ever been opened, really. So I owe a lot of it to pro wrestling, man. I appreciate it. And yes, as you mentioned, make music. That's awesome. Also was in a movie that just came out on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, you name it. It's out there on a lot of streaming services. Not Netflix, but a lot of other ones like Amazon and all that. So it's called Jersey Bread, B-R-E-D, Jersey Bread. And it's a gangster flick, and it's my first movie. I had a pleasure getting a phone call asking me to play in this movie, and hell yeah, I'll do it. So we'll see where that goes, man. I always said, like, when I got out of wrestling, like, I don't want to go right into television or acting, because then you're just a professional waiter. And I've been a waiter, but at least I waited, and then I got to jump out my seat and, you know, go crazy and have a blast. In this world, it's like, okay, what are my lines? All right, I got to read them here. Okay, I got it. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, man, I'm too creative to just be told what to do. Maybe direct or write movies, and you know, I've been involved in writing projects since I've left pro wrestling. I'm a writer, man, and that's where all the promo work came from, the writing. So like I said before, if you're a young wrestler, I would recommend writing and reciting in the mirror and learning your lines and writing your own. I mean, if you don't like the script, then rewrite your role, man. If you don't like the role you're playing, the ability to change that's on you.
And that sounds like not only wrestling advice, but life advice for sure.
I guess so. Life advice from self. I try not to give too much life advice. I just try to speak to these young wrestlers, because I feel like, man, there's probably been some great promos since I left pro wrestling, but I haven't seen them. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But I know when I was there, I know when I was in the business, and before I started in WWE, I was watching the show as I was getting into NXT, getting signed as a talent. And then I also, after started watching the show, I then thought to myself, and this is probably to my benefit, but also to your detriment, the double-edged sword, I was so confident because I watched the show, and I thought that there was certain parts that just sucked. And I was like, I want to come along. I've been this thing up. I'm a fan of wrestling too. And I'm watching this show and I think it sucks at times. So I need to go be the thing that, you know, that makes you laugh in this moment or entertains you or takes a boot to the face, because there's so much comedy in action as well. And I know I'm known for my promo in pro wrestling, which is, man, hey man, if that's the way people look at me and that's the way they take it, I'm blessed. That's cool. I mean, great. Like if that's the way you remember me, then God, I made an impression on you and that's cool. But if you really, you know, one thing that I always prided myself on was my comedic selling ability. And a comedic sell is hard to pull off and also get sympathy, and hard to pull off and make it believable. So there were certain things that as Enzo, the character that, you know, I was working on in WWE, that I could get away with that other people just couldn't. You know, I could walk right up to you and get punched in the face, where other guys probably say, don't do that to me, I want to protect myself, and I'm not trying to fall on the ground after you punch me either or bump. But it's like, man, you could be Kalisto and I would have been on my knees begging off, it's like, don't hurt me. So I can have a lot of fun out there. And I think that that's the more fun role to play when you're a wrestler.
Sure.
You know, there's levels to it. You know, I've been in feuds as well. You know, really blood rival, you know, feuds, even in NXT years with FTR fighting for the NXT Tag Team Championship in the UK. You know, in the first ever NXT TakeOver UK, it was a different side of Enzo and Cass. I think we showed a lot of rage. And I do mean we, because it wasn't just me out there. And by the time I became a cruiserweight champion in the WWE, my life couldn't have gotten much easier. A lot of mic talk, a whole lot of not wrestling.
Yep.
Oh. A whole lot of saying, I don't want to wrestle. And it was fun.
Yeah. So I wanted to say, you spoke a little bit about, you know, the action figure, and you spoke about like getting to work with like Shawn Michaels and stuff. Did you actively have like a punch list in your head of like, you know, if I could just do this, I'd be happy. Or if I could do this, I'd be happy. Did you pretty much, I mean, there's always room to go back and do all kinds of new things, but accomplish everything you wanted.
Oh, no. I definitely, at this stature in my life, have not accomplished everything I've ever wanted. I think at the time in my career, at that day, by the time I got fired, you could have fired me. And that very next day, I was so relieved that I didn't have that pressure, and that it was finally over. And I just say, you never know. When you get signed by WWE and you're there, you never know how it's going to end. And there's so many, you know, there's so many stories. And you know, I definitely went up in a ball of flames, but I always, that's funny because that's Bray Wyatt would always tell me, brother, you're going to go out in a ball of flames. And I just like, and sure enough, man, it's crazy how life happens, and timing is everything. And I was so hurt, you know, both physically and emotionally by the time I got, out of wrestling. I got back into it by, you know, no fault of my own. I wasn't looking to get back into wrestling. Big Cass brought me back into it. He ended up leaving the WWE and going through some trials and tribulations when he reached out to me, and we started working together a lot. And I just got to know my best friend again, and wanted to see him through something that led to a world of gratitude that I just, and the indies. I've never worked the indies before. I never did it. So I didn't know what was out there. And when Big Cass had to spend some time away in the hospital, I took his bookings, and that's how I got back into wrestling. By taking his bookings, and I didn't wrestle. I just talked on the mic, and it was in those moments where I saw, hey, here's this thing that I love. And no matter what, no matter who, no matter, you got to move forward in life, and you got to fill that void that's in your heart that was once full by this thing that you love so much, that you do so well. And you're one of the best in the world at it. You have to know that there's a lot of people out there that want to see you do this thing. So stop being selfish and think about the kid that wants to do your dance, or the kid that wants to meet you, or the you know, person with special needs that you know loves pro wrestling, that it's still real to them, damn it, and they want it, and they, you know, so it's like there's so many levels to what leads you back into this thing that we all love, but it's selfishness too, because I love it, right? I do it for me just like I do it for other people and fans. So I just, man, I love pro wrestling at its core, and I don't care where the ring is. I'm going to get in it. If I see a ring set up and there's wrestlers around it, I'm going to talk wrestling. I'm going to get in a wrestling ring. And, you know, there was a hot minute where I didn't love it, and I wanted it, and I was hurt. And I would have answered that question that you asked with, did you check everything off the bucket list? And I would say, yeah, all I ever wanted to do was win a title. No. See, that's the difference. A lot of people get into wrestling for titles. I never thought for one fucking second, excuse my language, that they would give me a title. I just never thought it would happen. So at that time, being a real human being, being a realist, being a rational person, not thinking about this thing, thinking about this thing like a wrestler or, you know, somebody who has got an ego, you're an idiot. So I would never, ever go into matches like, oh, I'm going to win, or I think I'm going to win, or it matters to me if I win. I would lose every time. The only thing that mattered to me was I never really want to tap. I don't want to give up. I don't really like doing that because it's a bad message to these kids that do my dance and like me, because I'm just the guy who gets beat up. First of all, that's the character you got me playing, and I play it good. Let's do that. That's fine. No problem. But you got to kill me, you know, and that's it. And that's who I am as a human. No matter what you do to me, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to talk shit, and I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to do my thing. So it's like, let me tell that story. You can kill me, hit me with anything. But, you know, obviously I've tapped in this business, because we all do. So it's the part of the biz. So, but character wise, it was kind of like Cena, like, never give up. When I was a babyface for 6 years, like, just get killed, Enzo, and you know, just never give up, get up every time and talk your shit. So by the time I turn heel here and I win this title, I never thought I would ever win a title. So my only goals in pro wrestling when I was growing up, once I got in the WWE, my only goals was to do Madison Square Garden and to wrestle at WrestleMania. And me and Cass never did the Garden together. I got booked in the Garden when I was Cruiserweight Champion,
yeah,
which I also never saw happening. So now I have a title fight in the Garden, and I won. And that was goals, lifetime goals, two birds, one stone, a title fight in the Garden, your first match in the Garden. That I could have died the next day. You could have killed me. I had done Mania. I'd done the Garden and won a title. And I was like over it. Honestly, I was over it. I was like, I never thought this would happen for me. And I don't think anything much more is going to happen for me. You always are in there when you're on top or on TV or, you know, in a good position, just thinking to yourself like, fuck, how long before this ends? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I can't explain it. So I just certainly didn't think it would last very long. And so I now, if you ask me, what are your goals in pro wrestling? My goals would be to be a huge, huge star and win titles and wrestle at WrestleMania one day.
Sure.
And I if you asked me that a year ago, I definitely wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I definitely would not have. But I think that the longer the more I've been back in the business, the more indie shots I've done, the more autograph signings I've done, the more people I've gotten to wrestle, the more promotions I've worked with, the more I realize what I have to offer, and the more I really would love the grand stage and a comeback. All right. So I guess you don't, I'd like, look, man, I'm not in a rush, dude. This isn't a question of, do I want to do this tomorrow? Like, this is like, hey, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? If you asked me where I see myself in 5 years, I would say back in the WWE.
Sure, sure. So it's really interesting. And I think that your love for the business seems like very infectious. I've seen you around here for a lot of these indie shows in the Northeast. That's fortunately where we're at, so we get a lot of them. But, you know, your line is just as long as ever been. And, you know, there's a term that's been thrown around a lot by a lot of like wrestling journalists and dirt sheets and all that stuff. It's this.
There is no such thing as a wrestling journalist.
There you go. See, there's this.
There's a wrestling opinion.
Wrestling opinion. It talks about
journalists supposed to cover news.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, these people are covering rumors.
They keep talking about, you know, you have to like WWE or you have to like the competitors, AEW or TNA or Ring of Honor or whatever. But why? I mean, have you encountered that where people are actually upset when they see you somewhere other than WWE?
Oh, I mean, they haven't seen me anywhere other than WWE. Look, when I did a few shots for MLW and never signed a contract with them. And when it happened, I didn't realize. Like, I thought it was a YouTube show. You know, they got a TV deal out of it, and they put my face on the opening segment of their first TV episode, which tells you, okay, I guess I still got it. You still got it, right? So, like, I imagine putting here, you own this promotion, you're pushing your talent, you got your guys, right? And you're paying them, and they're signed to you in non-compete contracts. And here's a guy who's just freelancing with you, who does like four or five, four tapings. And through that process, you got me in your opening spot of your TV show. It's like, I'm not even signed to you. So, I mean, hey, thanks for doing it. But, there was no pressure on them to do that. So I guess thanks. But I don't know if you count that. So I guess that would be my only that. And I've done a OVW show, which is amazing. Love Al Snow. Love the show, The Wrestlers on Netflix. Shout out Hollywood, Haley J, and all the people down there. They're awesome, man. I love working down there in Louisville. It's great territory, brother. But I spent a lot of time in Tennessee. And a lot of time in Louisville, Kentucky, working since I got back into wrestling. That's where I usually primarily wrestle, between the Smoky Mountains all the way to Louisville. It's basically still a territory. And I like that territory. And I like the fans. I like the people. I like the wrestling. It's easy. And I don't have to kill myself. I could keep doing it for a long time. And shout out to Jerry the King Lawler and all the guys out there in Memphis. I'll be at Memphis Wrestling as well, June 22nd and 23rd. I'll be in Calgary the night before that on the 21st, wrestling in the dungeon for Bret Hart.
Wow.
So, you know, wrestling in front of Bret Hart at the Dungeon, that's, there you go. That's bucket list stuff now that I've left WWE. A lot of things have changed in my career. Things that used to not be on the list to do, you know, now you learn to appreciate where you're, you know, there's so much more to pro wrestling outside of WWE. And all I ever knew when I got signed to them was that. And it was funny because I was such a prick. I would, you know, like if Finn Balor or Kevin Owens got signed and they walked to the door and I'm already in NXT and we're over, my tag team partner, 7 foot tall eater, is like, we walk around and I'm like Shawn Michaels and he's like, these are in our minds. Like, I'm such an asshole. I'm like, you know, when we were young, I would joke with these people and they knew it was a joke. So I wasn't serious, but some people might take it the wrong way. And the few that did, and their panties are up in a bunch, fuck them. So anyway, I would be like, somebody comes in the door, like an El Generico or a Kevin Steen, they'd be like, oh, talking about people. Like, I would hear the name, like, I don't know, like, whatever. You'd hear names about indie guys and Ring of Honor and New Japan and Dave Meltzer or something. And I don't know what any of this shit is. I don't know what dirt sheets are. I don't know what any of it is. And I go through my whole career without ever knowing what those things are. Ever knowing. Imagine that, having a Cruiserweight title on TV and not knowing who Dave Meltzer is, right? And I would joke with these people. They'd say things. I'd be like, listen, I work for the WWE, WWE only. Don't give a fuck about anybody else. Never heard of them. Don't care what they fucking talk about. We only know because we're here. And everybody's talking about here, but we're here. So fucking stop talking about Ring of Honor. So, you know what I mean? And I would just, yeah. I would bury shit, but I would do it in a comedic way, lightheartedly, but I was not joking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, it can't be taken the wrong way. I see that. And it's fun because they all knew that they paid their dues all over the world. And I was going to listen to everything they had to tell me about pro wrestling. And I was going to sit in the car when they broke down their match after they had it. And we're driving home and I'm learning, you know, I'm in the car with Sammy and Kevin and they wrestle each other. And, you know, me and Cass are in a car. And I'm just listening to them talk about their match and I'm watching their match, you know, through the curtain with my eyes peeled, just trying to learn. And I got an opportunity to work with some of the best wrestlers in the world that you learn. And that's when you learn best, when you're in the ring.
Absolutely. And it seems to me, I mean, like I obviously have only gotten to, you know, our brief talks that we've had here and there, but, you know, wrestling or life in general seems to be not that easy for most people. And you've come through it. You've had the highs, you've had some lows, but what do you attribute? Like, just, it seems like you're on a different level. Like, you just have positivity. You have like good mental health. Like, what do you do to make sure that continues?
I think that not giving a fuck is a superpower. Not giving a fuck is a superpower.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that throw dirt on my name, talk shit about me that have never met me. Because I'll be damned if anybody ever comes up to me, meets me in person, talks shit about anything. Nobody's ever said shit to me, rude, mean, you know, like there's probably been a couple of weirdos or hecklers that maybe it's still real to them, damn it. But like, bro, sorry I entertain people with special needs and children and have a wig that if you're an adult seen walking around on the street with on, you deserve to get smacked. You know, like I just gauge it different. And I just think that, you know, like you have to be smart about what you say and how you say it, but there's always a prowess in knowing, how to say things, and still not giving a fuck. You know what I mean? I'm not politically correct. And that is, but I am. Because if you really think about it, 7 years on a microphone, I've never cursed in the WWE or was saw really, you know, partaking in dumbass shit or anything like that when I was with the company. And then I left the company and I raised my middle finger in the air, grabbed my dick and said, fuck you. If you said fuck me, then I'm saying fuck you back. That's the way I look at it. That's how I see it. If it's fuck me, then it's fuck you too. Now, I would say it's more que sera, sera. Like, dude, whatever. Like, but I don't get the hate. So separate this from real life, pro wrestling from real life. And we're all out here trying to do a show. And we're all out here trying to do our best, to put on a show for you. And if anybody's in the ring beating themselves up for your entertainment, you got the nerve. Look, I'm not into death matches. You can go do that shit elsewhere, bro. You try to drag me into that thing, dude. Somebody tries to grab a weapon and I'm just going to turn around and leave. I'm just going to go to the back. And it's like, man, I've had one street fight since I left WWE. And it was with Bubba Ray Dudley at the ECW arena, the way it's supposed to be. Do it right. Do it tight. Go through a flaming table, courtesy of Bully Ray. And, it's not that there's always a way and a place and a time. But, bro, these kids that kill themselves out there every night, man, they're going to pay for it in the long run, dude. They are going to be hurting, man. And they're going to just, dude. And I see some of these old timers that are banged up from it, man. It's like, yo, we got to go out there. We can put on the best wrestling show we can. But I could also put on a technical spectacle, but nobody really wants to see me do that. So I play my part. You know what I'm saying?
Obviously, you gave us all the socials. But
yeah, check out some of the music, man. I got a song called Mickey Mantle Don't Care About You. Okay. Now, it's a concept record because if you know the movie A Bronx Tale, where he says to the kid who comes in a room crying, what are you, a fan of the Yankees? And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, why are you crying? So blah, blah, blah. He said, well, Mickey Mantle don't care about you. Why do you care about him? And that's a life principle, bro. I hope when you meet people that you put up on pedestals that you think are good people that you want to root for and cheer for, and you meet them in real life, I hope that they are who you thought they were. Because I know that I've been let down a million times in my life, and there's some real ones out there. I've met some of my heroes, like Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kevin Nash and Triple H. He changed my life. The guy found me in the back of a moving truck, so I owe him a lot. But I've met some people that live up to the hype.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? They're as cool as you wanted them to be when you were watching them kick somebody's ass as a kid. And I've gotten to become friends with some of them. I assure you, I am going to be the nicest wrestler you've ever met. Bada boom, nicest guy in a room. How you doing?
So we just want to thank you for your time today and, wish you nothing but, continued success. And, my last thing that I want to do is just because I'm very interested in what you put out musically. So some whatever you want to call genre rap and some rock and stuff. But
yeah, you know what? If you made a playlist of every single one of my songs, okay? If you just took all my albums and every single or every track, mixtape, whatever, if you put them all on your Apple Music and put them all on and just hit it on shuffle. You're going to hear, you're not even going to think it's the same person from track to track. And I only have two features on two songs ever. Smoke Dizza on Virgil Remix and Velis on White Running Back. Oh, and Baby E on Contract. So I only got three features. Everything else is me. And it's rock, it's rap, like you said. So finish your thought, though. I just wanted to say that I don't sound any, I don't have a genre.
Yeah, you cross genre. So, who are some of your biggest musical influences? I mean, obviously with wrestling,
Stones right here, buddy. I got a Stones shirt on. I love the Rolling Stones. They're coming to Jersey on May 18th. I got to get over there. I haven't bought a ticket yet, but I love the Stones. Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen, Kiss. Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park, Korn, Tupac, Biggie, Eminem, Wu-Tang, Juvenile, Lil Wayne, Kanye, Jay-Z, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Leonard Skinner. That's about it. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Hey, that's a pretty good list for sure.
That's what you're going to find on Shuffle all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, you are absolutely correct. We've crossed paths a few times, and again, one of the nicest guys out there, and I really do hope nothing but
that's all I owe to my parents, my brother. That's it. Yeah. They gave me this last name, and they gave me, you know, these good looks. I got to put my face out there, and I got to say to people, you know, when they walk away from me, I want them to say that I'm a nice guy. That's it. I owe it to my parents.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you are that and so much more. So get out there, check out Enzo on all of the socials that you can, and get out and see him.
Hey, remember, guys, don't take my kindness for weakness. You come up talking shit, you're going to get smacked in the mouth. How you doing?
All right. Once again, thanks to the real one, formerly known as Enzo Amore, for joining us on AWP. JB, thanks so much for the interview. Great time. I mean, got a lot to say. Maybe we'll have him in the studio one day. He's not too far down in Jersey somewhere. So,
you know, the shot's for you, brother.
There we go. So, Cooter, you know, now AEW, you know, they've been having a hard time recently with its audience, and you can listen to Cornette shows. I love listening to shows because, like, they run it down really well. That we don't need to repeat it.
I love
all the nicknames, and I love how they talk, you know, like go through like the WrestleNomics thing and check out the ratings, and they really do a great job of just detailing all that stuff. Yes. But, you know, I love AEW for what they've been doing, but, you know, having a little bit of a hard time right now with the audience. We'll see what happens with that. But the one big thing right now is the Triple H era. Oof. You know, so Cody trademarked it as the Renaissance era. Michael Cole, Stephanie McMahon called it the Triple H era. Triple H called it our era. You know, we keep hearing new era this, new era that, whatever. You know, everyone's fast to coin it, the new era of whatever it is. So let's talk about some of the biggest things that are happening now under the Triple H era, with air quotes. I don't know, because we don't really know what we're going to call it yet. So that's what's been going on.
Why do they feel the need to do that?
So I think, you know, I think once again, you know, at WrestleMania 40, it was that passing of the torch, if you will. I think the whole Undisputed Universal WWE Championship, if there could be any more names for that damn thing. But, you know,
the belt, I thought you meant from Vince to Triple H.
Well, yeah, Vince to Triple H.
That wasn't exactly a passing. That was a get the fuck out, and thank you, Janelle Grant.
So, a lot of things
Hall
have passed.
Hall of Famer Janelle Grant, recipient of the Warrior Award, I might add.
So, a lot of things have passed. You know, it's a changing of the guard, if you will. People want to coin it to a new phrase. I guess, like I said, it all goes back to that COVID moment. He won this championship during COVID, held on to it for 3 years. 3 years, that's a long time. That's not a long time, but it's a long time when you're doing a TV show that's a weekly, every week, pay-per-views monthly.
Acknowledge your tribal chief. That's one of the greatest things.
Acknowledge the tribal chief.
And everybody says, oh, he didn't really wrestle all that much. But if you actually look at the list of the people he performed against,
yeah,
there's no better title defense list than that. I mean, anybody who was anybody is on that fucking list. That's a Hall of Fame list.
Yeah. And it's weird because, I mean, I get it. He was doing really great towards the end of his career, especially with the whole tribal thing gimmick going on, right? It was great. It was a great story. You can't beat it. But, like, at one point, you realize, like, is it just, okay, it's too much now. Can we just, like, get into a new trajectory, a new kind of thing. So we had Cody Rhodes defeat the Tribal Chief at WrestleMania.
Which I hated.
You hated that he won?
I hated that.
You hated that the story's finished?
Dude, I could give two shits. And I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
Because why did people like you and me fall in love with Cody after he left WWE? Because when he went on the indies, he changed his character around and became this badass heel. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. And he actually got, you know, some rich mark to actually, you know, open a company so he could be that kind of person again. And it was great. And since he's been back, he's basically been that white, you know, baby face, John Cena type. And I can't stand that. I'm looking the only.
You're looking forward for the heel turn.
I am, because I have faith that they will do that eventually, because I feel like they're going to have to. The people are going to get tired of it. And listen, I'm not hating on him. I think he's doing an amazing job. He does a great job at being the babyface. But at the end of the day, it's going to get fucking old. And, dude, you know how these wrestling fans are. They are going to turn on him and turn on him fast if they get that slightest bit bored. Yeah. And I don't think him as a heel is going to be boring. I think it will be as exciting as, say, a CM Punk heel turn.
No, yeah, and especially under this new leadership, I think it's something that Triple H can do to where people wanted to see a John Cena kind of a heel turn. Never happened.
No.
This, you can take that risk with Cody doing it, and it'll work. So I think it's, you know, like I said, we just passed the torch. I think we had 3 years of a heel champion. Even Brock held the championship too before that. We haven't really had a good solid face run since like a Cena, maybe. I'm trying to go back in my head of like WWE champions and all that, but we haven't really had a white hot baby face run with the WWE title in a while.
I feel like it just doesn't draw.
No, but
I feel that way because I feel like the crowds are less interested. I think crowds are more interested in the baby face chasing the title. Yeah. And then once they get that title, it's like, okay, now what? Which brings me to my next question.
Sure.
Because of this, is there more pressure on Cody Rhodes or is there more pressure on Triple H in this new era?
You know, I think, you know, like I said, since taking that ball too, because not only did Cody take it, I think Triple H took it too from Vince. WrestleMania 40, like we said last time, was his first WrestleMania all on his own in a way, right? No Vince involved that we know of. You know, taking him, making Cody the champion, making him the wagon that we hitch our things to pull the whole company, right? So I think the pressure is on him to like, okay, you finished the story. Now, how do you continue the story with your new champion? There's no Roman Reigns in sight. He's off doing movies now. So I feel like it's more pressure on Triple H to make Cody succeed as it is for Cody just to succeed on his own. Because I feel like Cody kind of, you know, did the whole kissing the baby, shaking the hands for the past 2 years since he came back from AEW to show everybody that he can be a top name, a top face. And he has, you know, he's been crossing all the boxes off with that. And, you know, is every show you go to, shows that I've been to, house shows, the crowd loves him.
Everybody loves him.
The kids love him. Everybody loves him, right?
Everybody.
So it's great.
Well, except me, but go ahead.
But yeah, so I mean, I think it's still under Triple H, because even if you look at his title defenses after Mania, to where we had the first one was AJ Styles. No big feud, but it was okay. It was an AJ Styles match, right?
Come on, bro. Meltzer gave that 5 stars.
So, okay, your first title match out in the new era.
Mm.
And now you got him against Logan Paul in Saudi Arabia, which was not that bad of a match. I mean, we had a new dynamic in that match we'll talk about, but
that was cool. Yeah.
That's his second title defense. So I think they're still trying to book this around him. Yeah. So, I mean, we only had a few matches of him as champion, but there's no like real big story involved. It's just the baby face against all these heels, right? Right now, to show that he's a worthy champion still, right?
That's the problem with him waiting for The Rock.
Yeah.
You can't, you have to work around Rock's schedule and you have to keep him in short term feuds and just throw people at him and let him run through them, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because, you know, you make him look strong. You know, he's beating people on a regular basis, but eventually people are going to get tired of that. I think people enjoy long-term feuds. One of the reasons they love Cody was because this was a year-long feud with him and Roman from WrestleMania to WrestleMania. So I'm also going to agree with you. I'm going to say that Triple H, there's more pressure on him.
Yeah.
And I feel like because he's literally ended a shit ton of stories. I believe I said that last week, right? He ended all of Vince's stories, which really started under his regime, so to speak, right? He did a great job at NXT at starting feuds, ending feuds, et cetera, et cetera. But now you're doing it on, you know, the big stage, you know, the main roster. And I feel like starting these things and having to wait for certain stars to come back, and I want to give it a chance, but when you're planting seeds for a bunch of new stories, you usually end one story here, end another story. I feel like they ended so much at one point that we have so much new stuff. I feel like people are going to get impatient.
Yep.
And that's what I worry about.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's the pressure's on him.
No. Yeah. They want that next big story because, like, as that was a great story. It was something that lasted for a long time, and there was quite a build to it. Now it's kind of like just throwing, see what sticks to the wall, and like what could really be a good feud for him. So we're kind of getting all those heel matches out of the way to like see, like, oh, okay, he beat AJ Styles. Okay, he beat Logan Paul. Okay, he beat this guy, the next, and so on and so forth. So I don't know like what story they're gonna really land with him yet that'll really stick further down the road. But I mean, yeah, going back to The Rock, he is the last guy to pin Cody. He pinned him at the WrestleMania Night 1, right? So Rock has the win over him to where they could bring that back for next year. But if we come full circle and back to WrestleMania, or if it's Royal Rumble or whatever, who's going to have... You're just going to keep The Rock as another heel, right? I mean, if that championship, the first person to take it off of Cody is The Rock... There's going to be a lot of heat for that, I think. A lot of people would be pissed off at that. Like, if Rock wants to get cheered, I don't think anybody's cheering that.
Is that good heat or is that bad heat? I think that might be good heat.
Yeah?
I really do. Like, listen.
Keep him as a...
I think we all understand that he's not going to be there full time.
Yeah.
It's like how we felt about Brock.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people hated the fact that he would just show up here and there. But, like, that's a special attraction. I think it's good heat. I feel like people are going to be pissed off, but it's going to make them want to watch.
Sure. And you know, it's like going back to the pressure of this whole new era, because you came off this hot, white-hot story that lasted for months and years, and now you have to kind of, like, start anew again. And it's like you have the brand-new champion of Cody Rhodes. And now how do we give him something good to, like, get involved with? So it's they're trying to find, I think, that momentum for it. So we're still in that part of the era with the whole, you know, that whole passing of the torch. He's got the torch. He's running with it. And we're just kind of see how far he can run with it. But, I mean, all in all, under this new era, the stuff's still going really good. I think since Kevin Dunn left, the production has stepped up quite a bit.
Bucky Beaver.
So, you know.
Hey, Vince. Can I kiss your ass?
Production has been amazing. Like these one shots going to the ring and leaving, where they'll have like a guy walk to the back and then the camera will go to the new guy and they'll come out. They've been doing a lot of that and it just looks great. It's incredible.
Yes.
Like it's just something different to add to the whole production instead of doing the same damn shots over and over.
Oh God, it's just same shit. It's like watching a John Cena match. It's the same old shit. I like that they're doing different things.
Yes.
It makes me want... Somebody, I think it was Cologne who sent me that one clip from... It was a few weeks back. But it was one of them, you know, walking from backstage all the way through, all the way to the ring. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen them do that before. And watching that YouTube clip made me want to watch Raw live. And
I know, it just looks cool. Like seeing them walk into
stuff
the crowd.
Like that, it's drawing me back into watching live shows. And I think that's good for them.
Yeah, and like you got to keep up with the production no matter what. Or else if you're not doing it, somebody else is going to do it. And you're going to look like, you know, you didn't know what you were doing at the time. So I think one of the big things that we saw too 2 weeks ago was that whole drone shot that Logan Paul did against Cody Rhodes at King of the Ring, to where he gets up on the top turnbuckle and the drone flies around him.
Yep.
And then as it comes to the back, that's when he does the flying elbow onto the table. You're going to see a lot more of that because it's just like a regular drone operator, whatever city they're at.
You know why you're going to see a lot of that?
Because
the amount of views that it got on social media.
Nobody's
I forget what
doing
they said.
It. Yeah.
It was the most ridiculous amount of fucking views that I've seen for one move.
Yeah, I know.
You gotta be
for
kidding
an elbow
me.
Drop
for an elbow drop. Savage would be like, "What the fuck, dude? This is pissing me off."
No, and that's the thing. You got to keep up your game, and I think under Triple H or whatever this era is, like, you gotta evolve or die, right? So, like, even just using like cameras in the ring post, like, just little things like that, just change up what you're doing to make it more enticing to watch at home. And that's like
here's
make
a dumb
watch.
Question for you.
Yeah,
do you think if you increase the production value like that, they can get away with maybe slacking with some of the writing because it's so cool to watch?
No, yeah.
I worry that they'll fall into that trap sometimes.
No, yeah, and I was reading an article today, and even just like using certain moves only on like pay-per-views, or like, you know, going back to remember when CM Punk, I think, did the oh, what the hell did he do to John Cena when he won the championship at the Money in the Bank years ago? He did like a pile driver where it was like pile drivers are banned. But like somebody was writing, I forget, somebody did that at Saudi Arabia and some other show. I forget what the move is. Don't quote me on whatever. But they're using like bigger moves only once at the pay-per-view to make it more impactful. Like, I don't know what the move is, but it's
You mean they're not doing the AEW thing where you kick out of somebody's finisher like 10 fucking times?
No. Where it actually means something when you hit this move. So I was looking at it and I was watching it and I don't know what the move was, but whatever it was something that hasn't been used on like a Raw or SmackDown, that they were saving it for like a pay-per-view. And like I was going back in time to where CM Punk did the pile driver to John Cena where it was like banned, but they both like did it and people were like freaking out about it. Like they did a pile, like it's stuff like that.
I got a great idea. We're going to put a ladder in here. I'm going to give you a Canadian destroyer through this fucking table, and you're going to kick out at one. Sounds like a great fucking idea.
Finishers are called finishers for a reason.
It not even mean... just finishers. I know. Just like, high-impact moves like that. They have don't to mean shit. Exactly.
So that's like the whole production thing. I mean, you know, throwing it up there, throwing these cool drone shots, making these big moves on big moments actually mean something. It just engulfs the viewer to be like, wow, this is something that you want to tune into each and every week. And then even like little things that they've been doing too, to like updating the tag titles. They're not the SmackDown or the Raw titles, the world titles and the WWE tag titles. Even NXT is getting a women's North American title. Like, I think over time, like he's fixing everything, you know what I mean? Like, he's looking at the list and being like, okay, we got to fix fix that.
Is Credo going to sit here and tell me he actually likes the new titles?
I like the new titles. I love them.
Holy shit.
I like them. There's nothing I hate about anything so far under this regime, this era, this Triple H era.
All right.
This Renaissance era.
So out of the new belts.
Our era.
Oh, get the fuck out of here, dude. No, you know what? I was going to ask you which title you hate the most. No, the
WWE tag titles I think I like the best because they look like the old school ones. I kind of wish they looked exactly like the old school ones, but it's the same shape, similar shape, so they look cool. The world championships, at first I'm like, but I'm like, they're a lot better than just the big two, Roman Empire helmets for the tag straps. So I don't know, they look better.
Okay.
It's maybe not the greatest, not my favorite, but they're a lot better than what they used to be. So,
oh, you didn't like the silver and the bronze ones? I mean, I thought those were so cool.
Who the hell would want a bronze title? Like, that's that's third place.
And you feel so bad for the dumb fucking Mark who bought that on WWE shop and
for
you're just
$400 and it's like walking around shows. Like,
no. Look at my tag titles. I feel like anybody who wears a belt like that at a show should have to fucking defend it. I really feel that way. Stop wearing your belts at these fucking shows. It's weird. And it's not cool. It's not a vibe. We're not doing this no more.
I spending that much money, too, then, like, wearing it out at shows and, like, I don't know. I have a belt, but it's hanging up and it's signed.
And it's autographed. Like, yeah, you had it for a reason.
I'm not walking around with it. The only belt I got is on my pants. And I'm like, I'm not walking around with like, it's I don't know. Are we old now? Or is there, back
you're
in
like
my
Mr.
day,
Miyagi. Belt no mean nothing. Belt mean to hold up pants.
We got to have more Miyagi moments. That was great. But no, overall, I think, you know, under this new era, this new regime or whatever, I think I'm excited for it. There's a lot of cool stuff happening, and hopefully AEW, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about them, but like they're in a rut. They're in a rut right now, and like they need to figure out what to do to get out of that rut, and you know, they need like their own Triple H era.
I feel like they're on their way, and you know why?
Why is that?
With the MJF return, I feel like they totally abandoned that fucking devil thing.
Yep.
Because I feel like that was going nowhere. It was like, they think they knew where it was going to go, and then he got hurt, and they didn't immediately try to go back to it. At least I hope so. That's what it looked like. And it's like, okay, we're going to get a fresh start. We got the old MJF back. No more hugging Adam Cole. His legs are shorter than your Andre figures, by the way.
You know, it's you got to listen to the fans, man. That's it. You got to, like, if nobody's you're not getting a reaction out of some of these people, then change something up, man. You listen to the fans. They're going to tell you exactly what's going on and what they like. So hopefully these companies, whether it's AEW, whether it's WWE, a TNA, an MLW, or whatever. Just listen to the fans. That's all they got to do.
Okay, last question before we go.
Yeah.
If MJF ever signs to WWE, do you think they put it in his contract that he has to laser off that AEW on his fucking ankle?
That's good. It's the end of our era, but no, tune in next week, right? We'll talk about something else.
What do you want to talk about next week?
I don't know, something.
Another stupid fucking movie?
Yeah. Oh, it's good. You got to check it out,
no,
man.
No. We're done. Get out of here.
Dune 2.
No. Goodbye.
Followed by Dune 3.